This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. The La Crosse Promise, an initiative that's been in the works for several years in the city of La Crosse, is something Newsmakers last addressed this past spring. The basic idea is to tie the promise of higher education with housing and economic development in two La Crosse neighborhoods in need of improving, Powell Pogue Hamilton and Washburn on the city's near south side. Since our first interview this year, things have really taken off for the La Crosse Promise. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis talked recently with key leaders in the effort. Caroline Nielsen is a City of La Crosse Community Development Administrator. Carl Green is the Community Natural Resource and Economic Development Agent for UW Extension in La Crosse County. And Geraldine Dinsmore is Executive Director of the La Crosse Promise.
La Crosse Promise's goal is to link education and economic development. We have a belief that education is what can really transform a community. And so we have two main programs. One is to work with current high school students within the school district of La Crosse at our future centers and help direct them toward a post-secondary degree or training of some kind, because that's something that's definitely going to be needed in the future. And then the second program that we're talking about more today is the Neighborhood Revitalization Program, where we're trying to incentivize families to move back into the city, specifically into some key neighborhoods that are in need of redevelopment, and to give them the incentive of a scholarship for their children to go to college when they're older in exchange for investing in these neighborhoods.
And how did this program really start? What are the roots of the program?
You know, I think I'll defer to Carl for that one, because I've only been around for 2 years, and sure, he was there from the beginning.
Carl.
So the city's housing has, I think, for decades seen this trend of sort of a lack of investment. And unfortunately, with investments and lack of investment, it tends to follow lack of investment. And so we've just seen that the city's housing values have relatively stagnated compared to other municipalities in the county. As part of that, the County Economic Development Work Group had put together a series of papers that looked at the impact that that has on both city taxpayers as well as even county taxpayers, because it affects the county's mill rate as well. And ultimately, we started to recognize that the large number of low-valued homes in the city of La Crosse was having a detrimental effect on the city's tax base. It was affecting the tax rates. And we were starting to look for ways that we could try to reverse some of those trends. And so Brian Fukuda, the community development specialist with La Crosse County, found an example of the Kalamazoo Promise, which back in 2006, 2007, or sometime around there, had kicked off. And we began studying a similar type of a model. We had an impact study performed by the Upjohn Institute that looked at, you know, what would a place-based scholarship be and how much would that cost in the city of La Crosse. And then we started, pretty much trying to align partners and get people to understand the impact of the housing and the ramifications of low-valued housing in the city.
For Caroline, and maybe for Carl as well, the city is very interested in this program, helping it restore tax base and grow tax base, isn't it?
We just view this as another tool in the toolbox. So today, the city, along with our partners Habitat and Cooley Cap, have built a lot of income-qualified-only single-family homes in the neighborhood, or we'll tear down a dilapidated house and then build a house in its place, and we've also partnered with Western Technical College. We've built 32 new homes in the neighborhood. Because of the nature of our funding, though, these homes can only be sold to income-qualified families. So in addition to attracting education-minded families, we see a real advantage to bringing in families of all income levels into the neighborhood. And Geraldine will talk about this later, but we think that a mixed income neighborhood is going to be what helps Washburn and Powell-Polk-Hamilton succeed. So this is a great tool, and the idea is to also engage the private sector, private individuals, instead of having the city doing all the building. We're hoping that this program will help families and builders start investing in the neighborhood and build what we call market rate housing, which has no income restrictions on it. We also have several programs that do smaller projects, such as paint fix-up grants. But when we look at the neighborhood, we know that we really need a big development effort to see a benefit that smaller programs aren't just going to cut it.
So, Geraldine, since you were here in May, things have really started to gel a bit for the program. For example, you now have money to offer for scholarships. Could you talk a little bit about where that money came from, how much is available?
Sure. Yeah, last May we had some donor interest, but we hadn't reached our goal yet. And so in late August, we did get the go-ahead from the third of three anonymous donor families that have each contributed toward this. So we've raised a total of $1.5 million. And that's enough to incentivize 30 scholarships, kind of as an initial phase of our program. We hope to keep growing it and making it much bigger. But for now, we're concentrating on this specific neighborhood and actually have a first goal of raising enough money to convert maybe 60 homes, which would be approximately one home on each block or 10% of the homes in the neighborhood. And then after that, plans to make it even larger. But the three donor partners are very excited about the program. They see it as a very unique, innovative approach. We are the first people in the nation to do anything quite like this. So it took a good, well over 2 years just to finalize the current phase of it. But we're pretty excited.
And how does the scholarship program work?
So the family can either build a brand new home on the lot of their choice, or they can purchase a lot from the city for a very reasonable price of $5,000 to $7,000 or so. Or they can buy a home and renovate it and bring it up to a certain minimum level. And they have to live in the home for a minimum of 4 years. In fact, the oldest child receiving the scholarship needs to move into the completed home before ninth grade begins. So you can't do this when your child's a senior in high school and get college paid for. And that's partly because one of our goals is to, in addition to improving housing values, is to support the school district of La Crosse and increase enrollment, and also to have a steady long-term presence in a neighborhood that in recent years has experienced a lot of transition and turnover and not a lot of stabilization. So the family has to live in the home for four full years. They can sell it if they like after that time, but they have to remain a resident of the city of La Crosse until the youngest child graduates from high school. Beyond that, the money is sent directly to the college that the student plans to attend. It has to be a Wisconsin public or private accredited college, and they get the money no matter what. It's a nice way we designed the program. If your child ended up getting a full ride or a big athletic scholarship to Madison or something like that, we still send the institution the money, and then they would in turn send it back to the student to use for housing or books or whatever they wish.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from potential people who would join the program about that scholarship incentive? Is that enough to get somebody to move into a neighborhood, do you think?
Well, that's what we're testing, and we were really delighted when our first program participant, who just formally turned in her application last week, when she decided to get on board. You know, it's always interesting to hear people's comments, because I think they like the idea of the peace of mind of knowing that at least some money is set aside for their child's education. the way we've calculated it, it wouldn't be quite enough to cover tuition at the average UW school, but $6,250 a year would go a long way. And so they like that idea. There's a lot of people really interested in living close to the downtown. They like the idea that they can walk to work. There's 975 businesses within 1 mile of the center of this neighborhood. And so we've heard existing families that live in the neighborhood say that they walk home for lunch every day and meet their spouse for lunch, and they just love how convenient it is. Our first applicant brought up something new to us. She said, "I've always wanted to live near downtown, but I never thought I could do that and be in a brand new home. You know, we think brand new homes are going to be way out in the suburbs, so you have to either pick." You know, if I want a new home, I have to commute a long distance. And so this is a way that you can have a brand new home, you know, not have to really worry about roof replacement and window replacement and so forth.
Yeah.
And to be close to some great schools. You know, Hamilton School is right in the center of things, and that's a year-round school with the School of Technology and the Arts upstairs at Hamilton, which is also a very popular school.
Can we talk in broad terms about the applicant?
Well, we can. She was forthcoming. She was interviewed on television, so I would imagine she wouldn't
sure.
mind. But she's a single parent, and she used to live out of town a ways and was really getting tired of the commute. Fairly recently decided to relocate in the city of La Crosse, not real far from where this new home will go. But again, that idea of already being familiar with the neighborhood and enjoying it and knowing a lot of the people there. And then, in her mind, to think, wow, all I have to do is move several blocks from where I am now and I'll have a brand new home and money in the being invested at a very solid location for college.
How many children does she have?
She has two.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And her oldest will be entering high school in the fall, so very, very anxious to get started and get that home completed this summer.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about what's new with La Crosse Promise, a program that ties higher education scholarship with improving housing and economic development in the city of La Crosse. Our guests include La Crosse Promise Executive Director Geraldine Dinsmore, Carl Green, he's the Community Natural Resource and Economic Development Agent for UW Extension La Crosse County, and Caroline Nielsen, she's a Community Development Administrator for the city of La Crosse. This first applicant is very important because it show some interest in the program. Are you hoping it snowballs from here?
What we want to see is then that demand grow for the program as well as for just the the housing in the neighborhoods as well. And that's really what we were hoping to try and do, is to create enough of an incentive that it starts sort of that tipping point, what we like to call, that gets other people that maybe aren't even receiving an incentive to also consider these neighborhoods, because really these neighborhoods are good neighborhoods. They're very solid. I think that it's just has been a long time since they've seen that reinvestment in them. But there's still a lot of characteristics that are very desirable about these neighborhoods, very close to schools and to downtown and to the hospitals. I was counting, there's three or four boat landings within probably a 5-minute drive of these neighborhoods. I mean, there's just a lot of access and amenities very close by. And that's really what I think is some of the benefits of the neighborhoods is you spend more time living and less time driving to do something.
The city knows that not one program is going to turn the neighborhood around, but this is another thing added to the new biking and walking trails that we're building in the Washburn and Palpok-Hamilton area, the new parks that are being renovated. We've added additional community police officers. We're testing a new concept brought from Madison, community-based social workers to help the families who live there who may be low income, not even have to go all the way to the La Crosse County Social Work Building. They can get serviced right in there. it's going to snowball because of this program and the city and county coming together to really put all hands on deck with making, you know, the change happen. And then the county just announced another program to help if somebody, a private person, wants to go in and demolish a home that's in pretty disrepair, they might offer, be able to get a grant. Change takes time. The neighborhoods are like they are today because of 25 years of urban flight out of the city.
One of the new things that's happened since May is the announcement that there are now lots for sale.
Currently, we have 10 or 11 available for purchase.
Yeah, we'll probably have 12 soon.
Talk a little bit about the work that had to go into just getting lots ready to sell them.
The city's been working on getting to this point with La Crosse Promise for a few years. So we will find homes that are in foreclosure. Maybe it was owned by a landlord and they don't live in the city and they're tired of managing that home. Or somebody passed away and the estate doesn't know what to do with the house. So those are the scenarios where we're buying a lot of homes. We try to pay as much as we can, assess value, and we try to target the homes worth $50,000 or less. And so what we do is we acquire the home, and then we pay to demolish the house, and then we have, you know, a vacant lot ready to be developed on that we're selling for $6,000 to $7,000. So right there, we're already giving this family a benefit in that they don't have to come in and do all this work. The city's given them a ready-to-build-on lot. And the benefit for the city is we're targeting our most, what we call, you know, run-down homes with broken windows or, you know, missing parts of the roof. So just getting that home down is already a benefit for the neighborhood. And then once we get something new built in its place, it's going to be even better. And so I think... we talked about this earlier, but, you know, in Onalaska or Holman, you know, you're going to pay $35,000 or $40,000 for a lot. And so this is a really great deal that in addition to the scholarship, they already have, you know, a piece of land that's ready to build on at a really affordable price.
How does that land value, that $5,000 to $7,000 that you're selling lots for in these two neighborhoods, compared to other neighborhoods in the city if lots become vacant?
There are very few other vacant lots in the city, but typically you'd probably see other city lots being priced at more like $25,000 to $26,000. But to be honest, that's pretty rare to find a piece of vacant land for sale in the city of La Crosse.
What has inhibited redevelopment is the fact that there's a very strong rental market in the city of La Crosse, and homes have a certain inherent value based on the number of bedrooms because they can typically be rented. And because of that, the prices don't ever fall to a low enough point that redevelopment becomes a financially feasible alternative for a developer. Along with the idea of the lots that the city has for sale, the county's proposing that we have some form of a way to sort of reduce that charge or that cost associated with redevelopment by offering either tipping fee grants or demolition grants to help either developers or the individual to reduce that entry point of tearing down a house, probably a very old, dilapidated house, and building new. So, we're trying to come up with ways that we can incentivize the private investor, whether it's a developer or individual, and by basically changing some of the financial structure of the market, we feel like we're going to get to that point where we can then start to make a difference. At this point, what's being proposed, and it's yet to be finalized through the county board, but it's a grant for tipping costs, which would be the fee that you'd pay at the landfill, as well as a not to exceed probably $7,000 to $10,000 demolition cost. So it would remove those portions of the redevelopment. There still would be the requirement of purchasing the property, by the investor. But removing some of those financial burdens or barriers is really the things that are going to start to make it a feasible alternative to developing, you know, and just in ag land and out in the suburbs.
The other new area I wanted to talk about is this idea of a lending consortium that will offer some sort of relaxed rules, I guess, for these two neighborhoods to make mortgages a little more affordable. Could you talk about that?
About a year and a half ago, a concern arose that maybe when a family went to go to the bank to get a loan to build a La Crosse Promise home, that the lenders might raise eyebrows at the whole thing, specifically because when you apply for a mortgage, one step in the process is to find two or three comps or comparable properties that are within a certain distance, and just to make sure that you're making a good investment for the type of neighborhood that the home would retain its value. So with a program like this, it may be difficult to find those comparables, at least initially. And so Brad Sturm, our treasurer, who's also president of Cooley Bank, Brad and I began talking with area bankers and eventually met with nearly every president of all the banks and credit unions in town over a year's period of time, and worked out a program where they formed a lenders consortium. And what that means is that a family can walk into one of these member banks or credit unions and talk with a mortgage officer that's very familiar with what we're doing, and they're going to keep the loans in-house and not sell them on the secondary market. And that enables them to have much more relaxed standards in terms of the loan-to-value ratio needed for the property. The great part about that is that the family taking part in this won't have to pay private mortgage insurance. And for many families, that's about $100 a month. So it'll end up being quite a savings to the family, and also is going to make it a lot easier for the family because, again, the person that they're talking to at the bank knows what the program is, understands the big long-term vision. We have 11 banks and credit unions taking part, and together they've pledged $8.5 million in mortgages. They're the same as any other mortgage that they would offer, the same interest rate and terms and credit. It's not a low-income program. It's their normal credit score that they require. But the only exception would be to not have to have that loan-to-value ratio be what it normally would have been.
So we've spent the first 20 minutes or so just talking a little bit about the details. I wanted to back up. What is it like applying for this program?
We're trying to keep it as simple as possible, but like you said, anytime you have a real estate transaction, it always ends up being a little bit complicated. But if we took the scenario of a family wanting to build a brand new home on a lot that the city is making available, their first step would be to go onto our website and request an application, which is extremely simple. It's basically your name and address and the address of the lot you're interested in. To make sure that there's a scholarship available, that they haven't all been taken already. And then, almost simultaneously, they'd call the City of La Crosse Housing, what's the proper title of the department? They'd call Dawn, anyway. And they'd ask about the lot and what she required. It's before the city can sell the lot, they need to have an idea of what kind of a home do you want to build, a rough idea of the plans, and proof from the bank that they have financing, at least like a pre-qualification letter. And then they'll approve the sale at a meeting. Then at that point, they're officially part of the program. And then they have certain requirements to meet. I believe one is that the house is completed in 1 year, and that's your requirement as well, Caroline, mm-hmm. correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then that they occupy it within a certain period of time. And then after that, they're kind of on their own for a while. We just sort of keep track that the kids are still in school and haven't moved away. And as they get closer to graduation, we start to touch base with them again and give them some extra guidance on choosing a college and applying for scholarships, extra scholarships.
It's not easy building a home, but we do have, you know, volunteer architects with the La Crosse Promise. We have the expertise of our staff. So We've been really complimented. We'll walk somebody through the process, and we really want to see the program work. So it's not going to be, well, fill this form and go here, and if you don't do it, you lose. We're here to, we want to see people be successful and use the program.
The thing I would add is that there's a one-time ability to transfer if a contractor were to be building a spec home, not living in it, that the applicant could basically buy from a contractor, and make the application. So it, because of the fact that there, you know, could be some perception that it would be cumbersome to go through the entire process, contractor can do the building and then can purchase or can sell to a consumer.
Yep. So contractors and builders can buy the city lots and build on
them. Is that something you'd like to see as part of this program? Somebody snap up a bunch of lots and put new houses on them that are all ready to go so people don't have that step to worry about?
Yeah, we'd like to see a combination. You know, some families want to have a lot of input into the floor plan and so forth. Others, I think, like the idea of just walking through a house and saying, yeah, I like it, we'll take it. And it comes with a scholarship, so...
So we're working with a builder who probably wants to remain anonymous, but we do have a couple builders that have indicated an interest. And so I think, you know, within a year or two, we're going to also see perhaps a spec home built.
Caroline Nielsen is a City of La Crosse Community Development Administrator. Carl Green is the Community Natural Resource and Economic Development Agent for UW Extension in La Crosse County. And Geraldine Dinsmore is Executive Director of the La Crosse Promise. WPR's John Davis is our moderator. And our discussion about the La Crosse Promise, how success is measured, and how long it could take to happen continues when Newsmakers continues. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm John Gatto. Archives of today's show are available at our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. We've also got links to the La Crosse Promise, as well as other past editions of Newsmakers and our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm John Gatto. We're talking today about the La Crosse Promise, a community initiative providing educational scholarships in exchange for helping to stabilize La Crosse neighborhoods. The program has been in development for several years, and a number of major elements of the program have just come to life in recent months. Newsmakers senior producer John Davis spoke recently with Caroline Nielsen of the City of La Crosse, Carl Green of UW Extension in La Crosse County, and La Crosse Promise Executive Director Geraldine Dinsmore about the latest developments. While the La Crosse Promise is modeled on programs already working in places like Kalamazoo, Michigan and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Dinsmore says there are several things that make the La Crosse Promise unique.
Most of the programs are targeted toward every single person that lives in a particular city gets the scholarship. Sometimes they're only good at their local technical college. If you live here, you'll get your first 2 years paid for at your community college. Some are good only at certain universities. Most of them require that you remain in your state. There's one in the gentleman that owns Murphy Oil in, is it Arkansas?
El Dorado, Arkansas,
has a fantastic program where those students can go anywhere in the country that they'd like to, and he'll pay for their tuition. But ours is unique in that it's tied to building, at least the first phase, to building a brand new home or renovating a home in a specific area.
Carl, I know you've done a number of studies since you've been involved in La Crosse County, but the one that maybe applies to this program more than any other is a study you did a couple of years ago about the cost of living in the city versus living in the suburbs.
I think the perception had been that, at least the perception I was hearing, was that the city's tax rate was driving families out of the city of La Crosse. And while I would argue that that's not always the case, or the majority of the time isn't the case, I wanted to at least look at taxes within the city. But what I really wanted to show was, uncover was, what are the true costs of home ownership, both living within the city and outside of the city? And while taxes are definitely a component of that home ownership cost related to place, there's other things associated with home ownership costs, such as your sewer charges. You know, your municipality has the ability, and most municipalities charge sanitary sewer as well as water. Oftentimes stormwater is included with that. And there's some municipalities locally that charge for garbage collection. There's various costs that people need to consider. Now, some people that might live in undeveloped areas or less developed areas, townships, might feel that those costs aren't something that they're exposed to. However, what I also did was looked at the costs of replacement of either a private well system or a private septic system, because that's really a cost that is going to be incurred at some point. And the homeowner needs to recognize that those systems are going to fail eventually. They're a mechanical system that has a certain life. And if they're not adequately either putting money away, saving for it, or amortizing somehow the cost of that, they're really not taking in the full home ownership costs associated with some of those lands. So what it really did was tried to look at both within unincorporated areas as well as some of the villages and cities in La Crosse County, the costs associated with it. And what we really found was that there was, while there was a difference, there are some things that I think kind of also need to be considered, such as where the homeowners are working. Some of the difference in cost could be very quickly removed if there's some form of a commute required, as well as just the convenience. Again, I didn't obviously put that in as part of the analytical considerations, but there's really not as much of a difference between outside of the city and within the city as I think initially anticipated.
Do you feel that study is a good argument for this program?
The study helped to articulate the ownership cost. I mean, there's some people that preference-wise are going to just not want to live in the city, and we understand that. But I think that what the study helps to do is to illustrate and articulate that cost difference isn't as great as I think the perception was.
What about taxes? Because a lot of people just look at the property tax and, you know, that's the end of the argument right there. But if you put $150,000 home on these lots, what are you going to be paying in taxes, and how does that compare to somebody in the suburbs?
Well, I guess our argument is we all know that our taxes are higher than on Alaskan Holman, and I think Carl did a study, you could eliminate all of our city departments and our taxes would still be higher just because we're landlocked. However, the deal that we're making up for that in the deal that they're getting in the land value, and so, your cost of living is going to be a lot lower. So the person that is only going to make their decision based on taxes is probably not the one that's going to take advantage of the program. But the person who likes all the amenities that come with those taxes, such as alley pavings, lighting, good schools, our beautiful park system, our policing, the fact that you could call the fire department and they're just down the road, that is the person that's going to choose to live here. So I think, again, we're trying to be as cost efficient as we can. And again, it's not probably going to be the person that cares about that, but I think you're making it up in other areas, as Carl mentioned. So.
Geraldine, did you want to add something to that?
When I looked at Carl's study, I noticed that one area, village in particular, the real cost of living there compared to in the city of La Crosse for a $150,000 home, the difference was it was $100 more a month to live in La Crosse, and that's not looking at gas. So if you did commute into La Crosse to work, as the majority of the people who work in the city of La Crosse leave at the end of the day to outside of the city to go to bed at night. I mean, that's a lot of money in gas. So that's just, it's again important to just look at the big picture.
And then you add the educational part on top of that.
Right.
That you're getting back. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, looking at just the taxes, you're leaving off some of the utility charges. Some municipalities, the city's utility charges are not the lowest, but they're considerably lower than some other municipalities, mainly because there's a larger population to kind of spread some of those utility charges over. However, unfortunately, this whole issue of the high taxes it feeds upon itself, because if more people lived in the city of La Crosse and there was greater tax base, the taxes wouldn't be as high as they are. The reason that the taxes are high, although there's always places that could be cut, as Caroline was referring to earlier, there's a certain amount of just core services, police, fire, road maintenance, that if you could eliminate just about every other city budget and you would still be higher than most surrounding municipalities. And the reason for that is basically this lack of tax base, not the fact that the city is just overspending. There's municipalities that on a per capita basis spend considerably more than the city of La Crosse, and yet their mill rate is considerably less, and that's because they have a significant more value per capita in their residential tax base. The city's residential tax base has basically stagnated over several decades, post-World War till now. And that's really what we're long-term trying to help the city get a handle on and to start to reverse that trend.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about what's new with La Crosse Promise, a program that ties future higher education scholarship with improving housing and economic development in the city of La Crosse. Our guests include La Crosse Promise Executive Director Geraldine Dinsmore, Carl Green, he's the Community Natural Resource and Economic Development Agent for UW Extension La Crosse County, and Caroline Nielsen, she's a Community Development Administrator for the City of La Crosse. I saw a couple of you at a recent employee benefit fair selling this program. How important is that to the future of the program?
Oh, it's extremely important. Yeah, when you have donors and potential donors, especially watching this and wanting to jump on as soon as they see this catching on, it's what we've all worked toward for some of them for 8-9 years or more. And so it's a pleasure to get out there and let people know about it. I mean, it's only launched 4 or 5 weeks ago. And but one of the ways that we try to get the word out to our ideal customer, which is a certain age and demographic, is through the human resource departments at some of the larger employers in town. Also, when they're recruiting employees from other areas, we want them to be able to pass along the availability of the scholarship. We're also talking with realtors this morning. Carolyn and I spoke to a realty group, letting them know how this could be a useful tool, and with the renovation piece in particular, marketing it in a wide variety of ways.
We've done a good job at trying to get that message out, and I know that we're pretty tireless in our efforts, and yet we'll still come across people. In fact, I think even today, there was somebody that said I hadn't heard of this program before. So, you're never done, I think, with some of that marketing. But I do think that we're also thinking that it's like the snowball metaphor, where eventually it starts rolling by itself, and I would anticipate that as we start getting more successes, that's going to breed success.
So, who is your ideal customer?
It's most likely, in my opinion, someone that's currently 27 to 40 years of age. I think the couple most likely to do this would have children that are currently in elementary school or the lower grades of middle school. So there's enough time to make the investment. They're people that
are quite certain that they want to remain in La Crosse over the long term. So obviously not a person that knows they get transferred with their job every 2 years and moves all over the country. You have to know you're going to live here. They are professionals. I think they tend to be people with a four-year degree or higher. They're people that are concerned about sustainability, and not just environmental sustainability, but also the tired of the rat race of the commuting and the driving and shuttling kids, you know, eating supper, you know, in the fast food for supper in the backseat of the car as they run from one thing to the next. They like this idea of living really close to everything and just kind of having a more sustainable life. Also people that aren't necessarily into the great big huge home, you know, with a 5-car garage. They saw their parents work toward that, but we're seeing a trend among younger people to really want to downsize and not have a huge yard to mow. You know, let's go to the park instead and, have a smaller home and less possessions.
So how long will it take to measure the success of this program? Are we talking, you know, if it took 40, 50 years for property values to decline in La Crosse, is it going to take that long for this program to operate to bring them back?
It's obviously a long-term strategy, and it's a marathon race, not a sprint. But on the other hand, I think that what we anticipate is that this, like I said before, success will breed success. And as we start to see more things starting to happen, just like what we're seeing in the downtown, that starts to get people to start to have more perception that there's less risk in that market. Any market is really a matter of risk perception. And with enough activity, I think that what you'll start to see is people having more confidence in these neighborhoods. As you start to get more connections developed within these neighborhoods, you're really benefiting everybody in the neighborhood, and it starts to have kind of a ripple effect, I think. And so how we gauge success is going to be dependent on how we measure that. Now, whether that's tax base, I think overall tax base, because even a whole neighborhood is still just a fraction of the city's overall tax base, that might not be as much of a measurement that you would see short term. But what you would see short term, I think, is the number of new buildings going up, the number of promise applications coming in. The number of homes being either significantly renovated or just newly constructed, because this area is fully developed for the most part, and so the amount of activity that you're currently seeing is very minimal. If you look at where are the new construction homes happening in the city of La Crosse, while there are few, there are hardly anything other than either Habitat or Coolie Cap homes within these neighborhoods. So we'll start to see of the 600 homes, if we can see 30 homes develop in a 5-year period, I mean, that's huge compared to probably 30 years of activity in that neighborhood previous.
How do you define the success of this program from your perspective as La Crosse Promise Executive Director and La Crosse County and the city of La Crosse? Because you all come at this from a slightly different perspective.
From an economic development perspective, I would say we would know we had succeeded when people begin moving into this area without even needing the incentive of a scholarship. To me, that's when we would see that we had done enough incentivizing that it's that type of a draw.
Carl. Our goal has been that we try to have either constructed or rehab 10% of the housing stock in the neighborhood to be at the county median housing value. Which is about 155,000, okay. Just under 155,000. Probably average in these in Washburn and Paul Polk Hamilton, although they're different, it's well below that in more of the $100,000 to $120,000 range. you know, that at 10%, that is by no means a complete transformation, but that's a significant change. And really, these neighborhoods, like I said, there's a lot of benefits to them, and we see success as people starting to recognize those benefits and starting to see that these are places to invest, and that's ultimately what's going to help the city's tax base make a comeback, is when there's not areas that are kind of considered, you know, non-investment zones, because ultimately that doesn't do anybody any good.
Yeah. Carolyn, how do you define success for the City of La Crosse?
Well, they both had excellent answers. The only thing I would add to that is we're tracking some metrics to know that we've succeeded when it becomes a mixed-income neighborhood. Right now, I think, you know, 20% of the families living in this neighborhood are in poverty. 75 to 80% of the students at the elementary school are on free and reduced lunch. So we know a neighborhood helps all children rise when it's a mixed income neighborhood, and where, you know, if there are low income families, they can feel successful because it's a safe neighborhood. They have social networks within their neighborhood that they can fall back on, an encouraging neighbor or mentor next door. So we'll know when we're successful when we see more stable homeowners in the neighborhood who are investing there. And again, like Geraldine and Carl said, when we see other people investing in the neighborhood without any incentive.
Does the success of La Crosse Promise go beyond the City of La Crosse? Does it help Onalaska? Does it help Holman? Does it help La Crosse County as a whole? And how do you sell that if, in fact, that is the case?
It's a great question. You know, Mayor Chilson of Onalaska is on our advisory board, and we, you know, because he understands too that there's a ripple effect. If the central business district or the central city deteriorates, it eventually spreads out to the rest of the region.
I would say that 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the city represented over 50%, I think 54%, if I'm quoting the numbers correctly, of the county's tax base. Currently, it's about 34%. A big part of that, although there's some of it is because of the growth that's happened in other communities, another part of that is because of the stagnation of the housing values in the city. While they've gone up, they haven't gone up as much, they haven't appreciated as much as other parts of La Crosse County. And that creates a greater fiscal burden of the county's mill rate to the people that are living outside of the City of La Crosse. So while there's growth in these other, you know, other outlying areas, the lack of growth in the city helps to create, basically it spreads that burden of the county taxes outside of the city greater. And so it definitely has an impact. Plus, I think, you know, some of the issues that you see in the city in regards to concentrations of poverty or in regards to areas of dilapidated neighborhoods, it's only a matter of time before that starts to, you know, spread into other municipalities. And I think you can see that in the Twin Cities, you can see that in most metropolitan areas, that the first ring suburbs, you know, also start to see the same issues that happen in the central city. And therefore, where the central city goes, or the hub of the region, so goes the entire region.
Just one thing to add, you know, one of our greatest assets when people come to visit, we're seeing 5 hotels being built in the City of La Crosse. So even when visitors come, they take a look, they might walk around the neighborhoods surrounding their downtown, and their impression of La Crosse is, what do those neighborhoods look like? So I think this will be a boost for regional tourism even.
You know, I had a flashback as we were talking here. There's a comparison, I think, between the early efforts with downtown Main Street to revitalize downtown, and I was involved with that in the late 80s. And I remember at that time, people that had lived here all their lives just looked at us like we were crazy. Like, well, you know, Dorflinger's moved out. It doesn't have a department store. Until you get a department store back, it'll never, you know, get better. And now you look at where we are and how our strong downtown definitely benefits Holman, Onalaska, West Salem. I think in the same way we have, you know, an innovative approach to revitalizing this area next to downtown that I think years down the road we're going to see that it worked.
What does La Crosse Promise need now? It seems like everything is in place.
We need to get the word out. You know, it's a difficult demographic to reach. They don't necessarily read the newspaper or watch the news every day. They tend to not be involved in clubs or organizations. So we're really counting on other people to help us spread the word. And if there's any opportunity we can get to speak to a club or business or group, just give us a call.
Gerilyn Dinsmore, she's the executive director of the La Crosse Promise. Also in the studio, Carl Green, community natural resources and economic development agent for UW Extension in La Crosse County, and Caroline Nielsen, a community development administrator for the city of La Crosse. They spoke with WPR's John Davis about the latest developments in the La Crosse Promise initiative. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers, where you'll also find a link to the La Crosse Promise. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff, that and more, at wpr.org/newsmakers. And that is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto.